Hariyo. My humble pranams to you all. So we are almost at the end of the sixth chapter. Bhagavan Sri Krishna covered this topic of meditation in very complete detail. What is meditation? Why should we meditate? How to meditate? And what is the goal and purpose of meditation? He told us the difference between yoga and sannyas. Whatever obstacles come in meditation, how to overcome them, and how one, we as in our life should remain balanced, not get disturbed. And balance can be, one is in objects, loss or gain of objects, or problems with people, you know, whether near or dear ones or far away, and with situations and circumstances. So there will be ups and downs, but a yogi, a meditator, or a spiritual seeker remains the same, remains balanced. And also the true meditator sees God everywhere. God is in everybody, and I am in God, so I and everybody are one. And always keeps his or her mind on God constantly, while working, while lying down, while cooking, while cleaning, whatever I am doing, I keep my mind, part of my attention on God. And then Arjuna had some questions about how to handle the mind, because mind is very difficult to control. And Bhagavan said, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagya na cha grihyate. With abhyas, with practice, and with vairagya, dispassion, mind can be controlled. And then last week we saw Arjuna had one more beautiful question, where he said that a person who is on this spiritual path and trying, he is sincere, he has Shraddha, but then for some reason he gets, falls back from this path, does not reach the ultimate goal of life, which is enlightenment. It could be due to some temptation, you know, I'm on the spiritual path and I get tempted by whatever, money, wealth, opposite sex, you know, whatever, I get tempted. Or I get disturbed by, you know, lack of effort. I feel it's too much hard work. You know, every day I have to get up and meditate, remember God and serve the world. It's too much work. I'm here to enjoy. So for that reason, this person stops. Or the third reason, Arjun says, is death. A person dies. He is very sincere. He's putting the effort. But death comes, you know, prematurely. Maybe if that person had another 2, 3, 4 years, he might have reached. So for such a person, Arjuna says, does his life go waste? Is it like a cloud that comes and without giving rain, gets blown away by the wind? So is this person's life useless? So last week we had seen Bhagavan's answer. Ahi kalyana krit kaschit. Na iha na amutra vinashastasya vidyate. Neither in this world or in the next world he will lose anything, and one who has good intentions will never suffer. So now Bhagwan has given the introduction. Now he, in the next 2 or 3 shlokas, Bhagwan will further expand on this topic. And so we'll start with Shloka 41, chapter 6, Shloka 41, as to what happens to this individual who has good intentions but is not able to reach his life. He reaches goal, and here he's addressing mostly death, but it can be any other circumstances. But in this shloka, he's talking about death. If a person dies with good intentions but does not reach. Chapter 6, Shloka 41. प्राप्य पुण्यकृतां लोकान्
लोकान्
उषित्वा शाश्वती समाः शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टोऽभिजायते टुगेदर् प्राप्य पुण्यकृतां लोकान् उषित्वा शाश्वती समाः शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टोऽभिजायते. So yoga bhrashta, in the end Bhagwan says yoga bhrashta means one, not bhrashta means who is destroyed, but one who has not reached the final goal and falls back from it. Abhijayate, where is he born? Where does he go? So Bhagwan says that he's talking about people who have good intentions, not people who are evil, but people who are good intentions. And there are two kinds. I will talk about that. So what happens to these people? Prapya punya kritam lokan, having obtained punya kritam lokan, worlds of people who are doers of good. So people who do good on this earth and they die, where do they go? They go to heaven. He's not talking about evil people, that he will talk in other chapters and he has already addressed. But here people who are good, who have good intentions, good actions, they go to heaven. Ushitva Shashvati Samaha, having stayed in heaven for Shashvati Samaha, long period of time. So these people who are doers of good actions, they go to heaven, stay for a long period of time. And then where are they born? Shuchi Nam Shri Matam Gehe. Shuchi means pure, people who are pure minded. And Shri Matam, and wealthy. So people who are wealthy and people who are pure minded, they are born to such parents. So we see here that Bhagwan is addressing good people, but there are two kinds of people who do good actions. One is they do good actions, but they have some desire. Another one says, I'm going to do good. I don't need anything. I don't even need praise. I don't even need any credit. I'm here to just serve the world. Talking about serve the world, this man said, you know, they tell us we are here to serve others. And what are others here for? What are they doing? So this kind of person, he doesn't care, you know, whether somebody recognizes, praise, not. But the other type who have some desire for which they do good actions. And what are the desires? Desires can be of two kinds. One is in this world, you know, by doing good, I'll get name and fame. And, you know, my picture will be in the newspaper and then I will stand for election and I will win and my name will be on the plaques and everybody will praise me. So that is one. On this earth, I will get credit. But there are others who say, I don't care about, I want to go to heaven. See, people have this idea that heaven is the ultimate. You know, you can go and enjoy whatever you want, eat, drink, you don't gain weight. There is no problem. You can enjoy all you want. You can sleep as long. So they do a lot of yajnas. And in our Vedas, they describe certain yajnas, which if is performed, the one who is performing the yajna, not the priest, but the yajman, is guaranteed to go to heaven. So they say, we want to go to heaven. And life is a continuity. You know, whatever I did yesterday, I get the result today. Or and then what I do today, the result will come tomorrow. If I put a mango seed, I'll get sweet mangoes. If I put a bitter gourd, I will get bitter fruit. If I put lemon, I'll get sour fruit. So we know that any action, you know, you do, the result comes sooner or later. So these people have not much desire for name and fame, but they want to go to heaven. They want to enjoy, you know, all these dances and music and fun and all these divine musicians and all that. And it is said that they stay there for a long period of time, long period of time. Actually, they say one day of heaven is one day, 1 year of earth. So 365 times. So 1 year of heaven is 365 years on earth. 3 years is heaven is equal to 1,000 years on this earth. So they may stay for thousands of years. And then there is no death. That's why in Katha Upanishad, Nachiketa tells Yamaraj that in heaven, people don't fear you. They don't fear Yamaraj because they're not going to die. They're going to live for long, but it is not forever. It is not ultimate, though in some religions, they talk about heaven as the highest goal. But in our Vedas, they say heaven is a place of enjoyment. And why do they go there? Because they have some vasana, some desires. They want to enjoy. So enjoying, whether or here or in heaven, is a vasana, is a desire. And sooner or later, that, you know, will bring you down. So they live for a long period of time. They enjoy all the heavenly pleasures. And then they come down. And after a long period of time, they come down to the house of pure and wealthy people. Pure means they are pure-minded. So in these people, there is regular puja going on, meditation, study of scriptures. And they may not be enlightened, but they are very holy people, religious people. But at the same time, they are wealthy. They are comfortable financially. So this individual who still has this desire for enjoyment could get wealth, or he could pursue the spiritual path. So he has a choice to do both. And the example they give is like sleep. You know, you're trying to sleep. And then you're about to go, and then some disturbance happens, and you know, you wake up. Oh, what happened? Like in my class also, sometimes people are dozing off a little bit, you know. So what we do, we tell a joke. So everybody laughs, and this person who is sleeping, what happened? What happened? So that is the purpose of telling jokes and telling stories, that people should stay alert. So these people, as though they have not yet gone to sleep, they have not reached that highest state of enlightenment just before they fell off. So same way this person. So who travels? What goes to the higher world? We say we go to the higher world and lower world and all that. Of course, people who do good deeds go to heaven. People who do bad deeds go to the lower worlds. And in this PMI chart, the body gets burnt or buried or cremated or whatever. So body doesn't go. It's a mind and intellect, the subtle body, propelled by the vasanas. So it is my vasanas and my karmas that propel my subtle body into higher or lower worlds. So it's like a gun, you know, it is pointed in one direction, and when the trigger is shot, where will the gun go? Will not go here, will go in the direction pointed by the barrel of the gun. So similarly, my vasanas are like that. They push me. So that's why they say one has to be very cautious in this life, not accumulate new vasanas and try to exhaust old vasanas. You know, desires I have, instead of desire for the world, desire God. So you're purifying, and then do good actions without expecting. Because if I'm expecting something, if I have a desire, then my vasana for that will get reinforced. So it is very important to be very careful, not only of my actions, my words, also my thoughts, because if I have negative thoughts that result in negative speech, negative actions, even if it doesn't result in speech or action, negative thought itself is a sin. That's why Gurudev says sin is self-insulting action. S-I-N, self-insulting. So I am of the nature of Om, Atma consciousness. But when I do actions for desiring the world of objects, emotions and thoughts, then I'm lowering myself from my nature because we are all divine. They say, when will I reach enlightenment? We are already there. God is with us at all times. So, but what we have done, we have forgotten where God is. And that's the problem. And so these people go according to their vasanas. Gurudev gives a very beautiful example. He says, like in India, they have dharamshalas, you know, where people come and sleep, or a hotel, you can say. And four kinds of people come and sleep. One is a drunkard, one is an alcoholic, one is a businessman, one is a thief, crook, and one is a saint. So they all four sleep in separate rooms. Now, what will happen in the morning? The alcoholic will go out and start looking for a bar. Where can I get drunk? The businessman will go to his world of business where I can make a lot of money, I can cut people's throat. The robber will look for whom can I rob today? Where can I steal? I can cut somebody's pocket, or he's scouting the houses, you know, where somebody is out of town. And of course, the saint will go to the temple or to the, you know, some for discourses, lectures, meditation. So whatever karmas they die with, those karmas continue in the next life. Just as in this case, a person sleeps in a dharamshala and in his next morning, he continues that activity. So same way here, when we die, whatever our strong vasana is, that decides our future life. So it is our vasanas and our karmas. So example they give is somebody is very wealthy, you know, very rich. He doesn't need to work and he has no close relative. He just gets up in the morning, eats, then he sleeps, then he gets up, eats again, doesn't take a bath, he doesn't need to bathe, lives a dirty life, but he eats, you know, his life is just khao, piyo, maja, keeps eating and doesn't even go out much, you know, stays in his house, he doesn't need to deal with anybody. So what happens to his next life? He'll go into the womb of Mrs. Pig and be born as a pig, because he lived his whole life here as a pig, eating, not bathing, just and not doing anything. And then when this pig is being taken to the slaughterhouse and his neck is being cut, he'll say, Bhagwan, why did I become a pig? Bhagwan said, you chose that life. I didn't give it to you. So they say there are two kinds of punya, Shukla punya and Krishna punya. Krishna, not Bhagwan, but Shukla means pure and Krishna means dark. So you do punyas, but you do them with a desire, so that becomes your life. But if you do punyas with a pure desire, I don't want anything, I only want God, and I want to serve the world without expecting, then such people get such birth. Next one, as I said, go to heaven, enjoy their good karmas, but because they have died with desires, they will be born again on this earth. And those who have no desires and are working for God, that we will address in the next shloka. This shloka is about people who died but had vasana, still had some desire. They were good people. We are not talking about evil. So that's why it is very important for us to teach our children or grandchildren from childhood itself what kind of karmas they should do, what is their duty, you know, teach them. Like, that's why Gurudev started this Bal Vihar, where, you know, children could be taught right from the beginning, from age 3 or 4, all the way up to 18. And then they have the Chik Chinmaya Yuva Kendra from 18 to 35 for youth, and then for adults classes. So Gurudev thought of the entire family when he started building this Chinmaya missions all over the world. And so it is very important to give children right values, right karmas, right actions, so that they practice that. Because whatever seed you plant in childhood, and people say, you know, I used to take my child to Bal Vihar, I took him for 12 years and now he has gone. He's an atheist. He doesn't even remember God. He doesn't forget about praying. He doesn't even believe in God. You know, when I try to talk to him, he ignores me. Doesn't matter. See, whatever seed you have planted in childhood, sooner or later that will mature, you know, after 10 years, 20 years. So effort does not go to waste. Our job is to do the best we can for our children and then let Bhagwan worry about it. So here, this person goes to the house of wealthy people, pure people, where he studies. And then he can continue his journey. But it is important for this person to understand that in my life, I must have had some vasana, some desires, because of which I was born. All of us took birth because we had some unfulfilled vasana. So the goal of this life should be to exhaust vasanas as much as possible, reduce them. And we have three paths. One is by karma yoga. With the body we serve, with the mind we love God, and with the intellect we know God. So serve the world, love God, and know God. Love God means love the whole world. That is the way to reduce vasanas. So now Bhagavan will tell us about the person who has no desires, absolutely no desire. He just wants to, you can go to number 42. Athava yogi naam eva.
Athava yogi naam eva.
Kule bhavati dhimataam.
Kule bhavati dhimataam.
Etaddhi durlabhataram.
Etaddhi durlabhataram.
Loke janma yadi drisham.
Loke janma yadi drisham.
Together. Athava yogi naam eva. Kule bhavati dhimataam. Etaddhi durlabhataram. Loke janma yadi drisham. Athava means or. So those who have big desires, I've told you what happens. Those who have no desires and who are doing good, they're born in the house of yogis. And who are these yogis? We'll talk about that. In the house of yogis, yogi naam eva kule bhavati dhimata. So these yogis are dhimata. They are very wise people. Wise people who are yogis in that form, that family, kule bhavati, he or she is born in the house of yogis. And etad he indeed durlabhataram, it is very, very difficult to find such a home. To find a home where both your parents are yogis and wise and very sincere on the spiritual path, such homes are rare. Loke janma yad idrisham. This kind of birth, this kind of life is very rare. And so that is what happens. So as we said, this person is only concerned is God, in serving the world as God, wanting to know God, reach God. And his whole life has been serving God, serving the world. But as we said, he died before he could attain that final, maybe 3, 4, 5 years, he could have. And when he dies, he says, forget about heaven, shaven and all. I don't want to waste 3 years, 100 years, 1,000 years. Give me another body quick. He says, give me a body. I want another body right now. I want to go back because I want to continue my journey. He doesn't want to waste time looking at apsaras and drinking. I didn't come here for that. So that is very rare to find such individuals. And we'll talk about that, the people who are like that. And in Buddhism, they said there is a place called Bardo. B-A-R-D-O. Bardo is like a cosmic bus station, like you have LAX, you know, LA, this huge, or LAX airport, or LA bus station, where, you know, buses come from all over. And they come from Bakersfield, and then they go to LA, then they can go to San Diego, they can go to Santa Barbara, they can go to, you know, Riverside and Palm Springs. So from there, depending on what your desire is, you can get a bus going anywhere, east, west, north, south. But then you may have to wait, you know, sometimes the bus may be in 2 hours, another one may be in evening, maybe next day. So you may not get the bus right away that you suitably want. You may have to wait. So same with this individual is looking for a womb, looking for parents where he can continue his journey, and he may have to wait. But ultimately, it is God's job. He provides the right kind of parents. And they say our birth, God doesn't choose. God doesn't say, I'm going to send you here and send you there. We choose. We choose, and it says we are the architect. I said at the bottom, just as an architect makes the plans, and then the contractor, what does he say? Okay, sir, this is your plan. I will carry it out. He won't say, why is the kitchen here? Why is the wall there? No, whatever plans have been given, the colors, the shape, everything he can. So Bhagavan says, I'm just a contractor. I'm just a poor contractor. You are the architect. Whatever life you have, you made it. I did not do anything. So we are the architects of our own future. So we have the choice to choose whether we want to continue our spiritual journey or fall down, and also whether we want another life, another birth. And that is all in our hand. So if we reach enlightenment, become one with God, or we reach Brahma Loka, the highest heaven, then we don't have to come back, don't have to take another birth. Or those who are in this life itself enlightened, then they are done. You know, they just live with Bhagwan. So we have example of Gyaneshwar. You know, Gyaneshwar Maharaj was a great Maharashtrian saint who had written beautiful commentary on Bhagavad Gita and so many other texts. His whole family was, all his brothers, sisters, all were enlightened. His older brother was his teacher, one of his sisters. Muktabai was a greater saint than all of the saints at that time. That's how evolved she was. Because he had, you know, very wise parents. So Shankaracharya ji, he did not waste time even on this earth, you know, studying and all. He said, I don't want to study. He said, I'm here to change the world. And so he left his house at age 8 or 9. Father had passed away. He told his mother, I'll come back. He said, who will take care of me? Mother says, Bhagwan says, I will take care. It's my responsibility. For such people, so if we have a child or a grandchild who wants to take sannyas, encourage him to do that. Do not say, oh, when I get old, who will take care? Bhagwan will take care. So let them go. And there are so many. Raman Maharishi, he never studied. He didn't finish his high school. Tapovan Maharaj, he went to school and he tells his father, I'm not going back. They don't teach me anything I need to know, because he was already a very evolved soul. And he left school and he started studying on his own Sanskrit and scriptures, and then he traveled. When his father passed away, he was wealthy. He gave all the wealth to his brother. He said, I don't need anything. He left. First of all, he used to never even live in the house. He had a small hut. Outside the house, he used to live there. And once all his work was finished, he distributed the wealth. He just took off and he went to Banaras and he went to, and ultimately settled in the Himalayas. And that's where Swami Chinmayananda learned from him. And then also Swami Shivananda, who is the head of Divine Life Society. They have done so much. And many other great saints owe their teachings to Tapovan Maharaj. So these people have no interest in worldly knowledge. You know, they just say, I want. Same thing, Raman Maharishi. He left his school and he left his family. He was living with his brother. He left, took whatever little money the brother had given him for tuition. to pack for the exam. He said, I'm not going to take the exam. He took that money, bought a ticket, and where Lord Shiva's temple is, he just stayed there. And whatever money was left, he threw it in the well. He didn't even save that money. He said, oh, maybe in the, no. He said, I'm come here, Bhagwan Shiva's temple, I'm here, so I don't need anything more. So these people from childhood, not only in spirituality, but look in the world, like Bobby Fischer, you know, was a great chess grandmaster. At age 10, he was already a grandmaster. And at age 13, he became a U.S. champion in chess. And in those days, the children were not allowed to compete with adults, but he was so advanced, he beat all the Americans. And by age 22, he was a world champion. And how did he learn chess? Nobody taught him. His parents bought him a chess board. It was like, oh, I know this. And he's just maybe read a book here and there. And he very quickly, he mastered the whole thing. So, you know, these people are the Mozart who was playing operas and composing at age 5. So these people, and example they gave of Ved Vyasji, this is a beautiful story. I think some of you may have heard how Ved Vyasji was born, how he was conceived. I think most of you don't know, so I'll tell that. So there was a rishi called Parashar Rishi. Parashar was his name. Very enlightened master, very, very great sage, almost 70 years old, around 70 years old. And for 30, 40 years, he had taken sannyas for more than 40 years, never in his life had any contact with a woman. Very enlightened master. And he was crossing the river, so he had to take a boat, and the boat lady was a young girl who was very adventurous. Imagine a single girl by herself, you know, rowing the boat and carrying people across and making a living, and very brave, you know, very strong and very brave. So as only two of them were on the boat, there was nobody else, and it so happened that a cloud came and covered the boat, so nothing could be seen, nobody else could see. And suddenly this rishi gets a desire, you know, he says, in 70 years, I have never had this desire, or in 40, 50, where did this desire come from? He said, Bhagwan has to appear through me. It is, he understood, because he was enlightened. So he and that girl mated, they met, and then when the by the time the boat reached, the cloud was lifted and he walked away. Not my wife, my child, nothing. He said, my work is done. Bhagwan wants to appear. And it said, Ved Vyasji was avatar of Bhagwan Vishnu, one of Bhagwan Vishnu's avatars. So Ved Vyasji not only had the brilliance of his father, you know, who was a great rishi, but his mother's daring, adventurous spirit, courage. And so not only he spread this knowledge of Vedanta, but he divided the Vedas into four, in all the sections, collected Upanishads from all over the country. Different masters had composed, put them all in different yoga. Not only that, but he advanced in Hindu's knowledge. A lot of new ideas were introduced. So the knowledge came from his father, the adventurous spirit, and new ideas came from his mother. And so such people, you know, the Bhagwan himself, when they want, Bhagwan wants to appear. So that is one, you know, these are called enlightened people who are from birth itself. From birth, he was very evolved and he didn't need to study much to go anywhere. Then there are people called Karaga Purushas, Karaga Purusha. That's another name. One is people who are wise, who go there. Now, these Karaga Purushas have already reached, but they are in Brahmaloka. They are not yet completely enlightened, but in Brahmaloka, which is the highest heaven, the seventh heaven, there they stay for thousands of years and they meet other great masters, and Brahmaji himself teaches them, and teaches them in Sanskrit. So all the teaching happens in Sanskrit, and they are taught and they stay till the next pralaya. They don't take birth, they stay there, and when the next pralaya happens, they merge with the totality. So sometimes these Karaga Purushas are sitting there and Swami Tejo Mayanandaji makes it very humorous. He says, Bhagavan will come. Are, what are you doing? You have been sitting here thousands of years doing nothing. Go. So he will send them to earth. Go and do my work. So these people who from childhood who have that, they are Karaga Purushas, where they, their whole purpose is to enlighten us, to guide us. So Bhagavan says that these people are born in the house of yogis. And who are the yogis? Yogis are those who practice meditation, who do pujas, who are themselves highly evolved parents. And they are not wealthy. You know, they may be ordinary middle class, father has some job, you know, because this person doesn't need wealth. They don't need wealth. They are, both of them are God oriented. So the child automatically from birth, he or she gets those samskaras. So now Bhagavan must love this person very much, because he's not done with one shloka. He's giving two more shlokas about this individual. Like wherever Bhagavan loves somebody, then he will give them lot of shlokas, like Sthita Prajna in the second chapter, 11 shlokas he gives. And after that also he keeps talking about it. So these people he loves, or in the 12th chapter, you know, the Bhakti Yoga, where, you know, my devotees, Yo Mad Bhakta Same Priya, he says, my devotee is dear to me. Almost the whole chapter, except for the first few verses, talks about, you know, Santusha Satatam Yogi Yatatma Drida Nishchaya Mai Arpit Mano Buddhi. So all the time he keeps praising my devotee, how I love him and he loves me. So here also Bhagavan is giving us two more verses. We'll see if we can cover two, or at least one today and then one next week. So shloka number 43. So what happens to this person in the house of yogis? So tatra, there, tatra tam buddhi sam yogam.
Tatra tam buddhi sam yogam.
Labhate paurva dehikam.
Labhate paurva dehikam.
Yatate chatato bhuyaha.
Yatate chatato bhuyaha.
Samsiddhau kuru nandana.
Samsiddhau kuru nandana.
Tatra tam buddhi sam yogam. Labhate paurva dehikam. Yatate chatato bhuyaha. Samsiddhau kuru nandana. So he calls him Kuru Nandana because Arjuna belonged to the Kuru family, which was a very noble family. And we'll talk about why he calls him Kuru Nandana. There's a very nice story associated. So tatra tam buddhi sam yogam. So to that individual there, what happens? Buddhi sam yogam. He gets united with his previous knowledge. Labhate paurva dehikam. From his previous birth, previous body, whatever knowledge he had acquired, he unites again with that knowledge. And then what does he do? He not only gets the knowledge, Gurudev says, knowledge without effort is wasted. So he puts in effort. Yatate chatah tatah. Then bhuya, again, he puts in effort, samsiddhau, to attain the highest goal. That is enlightenment. He's already there when he has taken birth. He's already in the house of yogis. He's a highly evolved individual, he or she. But whatever little effort is there, the person puts full effort, not only for himself, but for guiding the rest of us. So as we said, the whole life is connected. You know, it's not that after you die, everything goes to waste. But when a person is born again, does he know Sanskrit? Does he know Vedas? No. He has to learn ABCD, you know, he has to learn ABCD or Ka Kha Ga. He has to learn how to tie his shoes. He has to learn how to eat, walk. So parents have to do all that. Even Bhagwan Sri Krishna, Bhagwan Ram, when they appeared as children, mother used to take care of them, scold them. You know, Krishna was all the time in trouble. With Yashoda Maya. So they have to go through childhood also. But what happens is that they put effort, not only the knowledge, but to continue their progress. So they do not forget this knowledge. See, whatever spiritual progress individual has made, we talked last week also, Bhagavan says, your spiritual progress, I will keep it safe in a cupboard. And when you appear next time, I'll give it to you. So his spiritual progress does not get wasted. It's not that, like Arjuna asked, no, he tried very hard and then he died before he could reach. Does he have to start again from, you know, reading Tattva Bodh and Atma Bodh? No. The moment he sees this knowledge, it is like he's connected. Oh, I remember this. He said, you never studied it. No, but I know it. He sees Bhagavad Gita, he sees Upanishad, Brahma Sutra. He says, they are familiar to me. Why? Because from previous life, the individual has progressed. And so for him, this is like a revision. He does not forget, but it is like a revision. You know, I have heard this before. Now again, I'm hearing it. And what do I have to do? I have to put effort in this direction. So I have to do bhakti yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, whatever his interest is. And then this knowledge, he will use it to progress and also share this knowledge. There's the story of a couple who are in Chinmaya Mission. The wife is the husband pastor. So the wife is a regular attendee of all lectures of Gurudev. She's a very sincere student. And she, her husband was not even a Hindu. He was, you know, different religion. He was, but he said, so one time Gurudev had 10 days of lectures. So he said, I'll drop you there. I have no interest in all this Vedanta. He was not even a Hindu. He said, I'll just drop you there and I'll pick you up every day because wife couldn't drive. So he would drop and go run his errands, go shopping or whatever and come back and pick her up. So 3 days he did that. The fourth day, it so happened the traffic was light. And he reached 15 minutes early, 15 minutes before the lecture was to end. So he said, what does my wife listen to every day? Let me go see, you know, what is this monk talking, you know, this Swami, what is he talking? So he sat down in the back row and 15 minutes he heard and he said, wow, this knowledge is amazing, you know. What is this wonderful knowledge? So he took his wife home. Fifth day, he said, I'm staying with you. I'm not going anywhere. And so he sat in the last row. He said, if I get bored, I will run away. Sixth day, he went in the middle of the audience. Seventh day, he was right in the front row, sitting in front of Gurudev and absorbing this knowledge. He was so fascinated. He ultimately became one of the good workers of Chinmaya Mission and very devoted. And he passed away. He was not well. And I remember Guruji Swami Tejomayananda, we actually flew him from here to, he wanted to meet him. So he flew him there and then he went to his house and met him. So that's how, but the point is that you don't know, you know, when this knowledge catches you. And that's what it says. And like, you know, in like a musician, you know, some one person, he keeps studying for 25 years, he doesn't go anywhere. Another one in 1 year, put, you know, he just gets, becomes brilliant, like Mozart and all. So it is depending on previous birth. You know, the person must have been a great musician in his previous birth, died. And, you know, his love was music. So he was born in the house of musicians where he could study. Gurudev gives a story of a typist. We have little time. So there was this pool of typists, you know, in the olden days where the black typewriters, you know, ASDF, GF, semicolon, LK, JAJ, you all must have typed that. If you have, then you are older than So he was a typist in this pool of 4 or 5 typists, and they were typing for ministers in the Indian government, secretaries, you know, all the prominent, you know, politicians. And so they were given work to type. So the minister, he was assigned to one minister. Now this person said, I don't want to be a typist my whole life. Now the minister was kind of dumb. You know, he won the election somehow, honestly, dishonestly. So he got a minister's job. He hardly knew anything. So this person used to tell the minister, sir, you know, 4 days ago when I was typing, I remember you had given this beautiful idea in your speech. Minister didn't even remember what he said. He said, mere ko kal ka yaad nahi rehta, 4 days. Really? He says, sir, this idea you gave, and this is a very good idea. You can present it to the cabinet. And so minister, like an idiot, he takes that thing and goes, whatever his typist has given him. And he gives it to the cabinet and they say, wow, this is a great idea. So they praise him, you know, he gets a lot of praise and these ideas. So every few days, this guy feeds new ideas to the minister, telling them it is your idea, not saying it is mine. And so the minister was promoted to higher ministry. And this typist, he said, he's not good enough to be typist. Let him become my PA. So he becomes the minister's PA. And he's typing. No, he's not typing anymore. You know, it's, for 5 years he hasn't typed. The typists are typing. He's doing, taking care of whatever the minister needs and still feeding him ideas. So after 5 years, there is a very confidential document that has to be typed that only the minister and the PA is supposed to know, because that has to go to the prime minister, PM. So he says, minister says, this we have to take to the, he said, don't worry, sir. We cannot give it to any typist. Now, this guy hasn't typed for 5 years. So he says, I'll try, you know, I haven't done. So he sits with that old black typewriter. He wastes half a page. Lines are not straight. Letters are mistyped. And within 20, 30 minutes, half an hour, it comes back to him. Because he had done, and then patapat, he finishes the document and turns it in. So what it is, his previous efforts, knowledge, comes back to him, like, you know, bicycling. You may not have biked for 30 years. When you start biking, if you do with your kids in the beginning, you will fall 2, 3, 4 times, but then it comes back to you. So similarly, this individual, his knowledge is not wasted. It takes a few years, you know, by time he can get it, but then he continues. And then he puts effort. He meditates, he studies, he prays, he does, you know, service, he shares this knowledge, becomes a very good teacher, great teacher. And that's what we see all these great Mahatmas, you know, very young age, they became wonderful teachers, you know, Shankaracharya ji and Raman Maharishi and everybody. And they become great teachers like Pooja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda. They say he was also a Karaga Purush. He was living in Brahma Loka. Bhagwan sent him for us, and look in his life how much he accomplished. Hundreds of centers and billions of people are studying, and his books are all over the world, and all the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita is, I mean, ours is a small center. Some centers have 1200 kids, 1400 kids, bigger cities. And all this is going on because of one Karaga Purusha, one great person. So this person, of course, Gurudev again had to go and study from Tapovan Maharaj. So some amount of teaching is required. Even Bhagwan Sri Krishna went to Sandipani. Bhagwan Sri Ram went to Vashishtha Muni. So they go to a guru partly to learn and partly to tell us the value of a guru. And they evolve and they grow spiritually very, very fast. Their spiritual growth is very rapid. You know, they don't have to spend years going through a tattva bodh, this bodh, that bodh, you know, Bhagavad Gita. Everything they know, and very quickly, and their whole life becomes a life of service. Look at Pooja Gurudev, how much he served, how much he helped Swami Vivekananda. Only he lived 39 years, and how many Ramakrishna missions are there, how many people are practicing his guru's teachings. So we see that all these great saints, they progress very fast and their life becomes a life of teaching. Narsimha Mehta, you know, so many abhangas, so many, you know, bhajans he wrote, abhangas, Tukaram wrote, Mirabai. So all these great saints, they not only evolve themselves, but they become a method of teaching to the rest of us. And they grow very quickly. They don't stay static, they grow very fast. And that's what he says. He gets first buddhi samyogam, first he gets union with the knowledge, and then he, from his previous birth, and then yatate, he also puts effort. It's not only that these individuals just, you know, got this knowledge, they spent time, they went to a guru, and then they got this knowledge, then they started living it, they started practicing it, meditation. Gurudev used to meditate every day. Swami Tejomayanandaji was just a high graduate, BA he had done, that's it. He was going to do his master's, and he happened to meet Swami Chinmayananda. Heard he was in Bhopal, and Swamiji was there giving a talk, and he listened. He said, I'm done. I want to live my, you know, with Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda. And he heard that they were starting a course, you know, that was the first course, first batch. And actually, I was in Chinmaya Mission. I was a little boy, about 12 years old, 14 years old. My mother used to take me. And we saw these young children wearing white clothes. And my mother asked, who are these young children? Means they were youth, you know, college graduate. And they said, oh, Gurudev is starting a new program teaching, you know. Or they would wear white clothes and then yellow when they become Brahmacharini like Sandhyaji, and then orange like Swami Ishwarananda. So Guruji went there, and they said, oh, course is postponed. It will start next year. We don't have enough student or some reason. So other people all went back home. You know, I don't want to waste my time here. Okay, I'll come next year. Guruji said, I'm here. Main kahin nahi ja raha hun. And he didn't go anywhere. He said, I left my home. I left my, why am I going to go back? One year he asked Gurudev, is there any work I can do? Gurudev said, you become my personal assistant. So he would travel with Gurudev, take care of his needs. And then he would get to listen to all Gurudev's lectures everywhere he was going. And look where, you know, just a college graduate, he not only became an enlightened master, but after Gurudev dropped his body for 23 years, the Chinmaya Mission tripled under his guidance. People were thinking Chinmaya Mission will die after Swami Chinmayananda goes. So these people, their life is never a waste. You know, it may look like they are ordinary people. And last, he calls him Kuru Nandana. Kuru Nandana, because there is a story of Nara and Narayana. I will end with that today. So Nara and Narayana were the fourth avatar of Lord Vishnu. And Nara was Arjuna in his previous birth, and Narayana was Bhagwan Sri Krishna. And they were twins. They were twins, close, always spending time together, but very, very evolved spiritually. They meditated for, they say, thousands of years, but years and years they meditated. They were very evolved, both of them. And not only that, they were great warriors. A lot of evil demons were killed by them, Nara and Narayana. And so in the next birth, Nara became Arjuna and Narayana was Bhagwan Sri Krishna. And again, from childhood, they were the best of friends. They were not brothers, but they were the best of friends. Arjuna, Bhagwan, of course, you know, was, you cannot say enough about him. But Arjuna, even though he was an ordinary human, he was very spiritual. He was not only the greatest warrior of his time, but a highly evolved individual. That's why Arjuna means Arjumam, straightforward. He was very straightforward in his dealings, very honest, and a sincere student. That's why when he asked Bhagwan Krishna, Shishyas Deham Shadi Maham Tvam Prapanna, in the second chapter, Bhagwan says, he is my devotee, I will teach him. And then all the 18 chapters, Bhagwan teaches him. So, and he was the only one who could see that Vishwarup, the cosmic form, in the 11th chapter. When we get there, we will cover. But that cosmic form of Bhagwan, where Bhagwan Sri Krishna shows him the whole universe is in him, in his body, and even the past, present, future, everything. So why did he get that? Because he was a spiritually evolved soul. So that's why he says, oh, Arjuna, you belong to that great family of gurus, and you are Nara and I am Narayana. So these two appeared on the earth as Arjuna and Bhagwan Sri Krishna. So just to summarize today, those who have died with desires but are good people, they go to heaven, they enjoy, and then they continue their journey in the house of wealthy and pure people, that they can continue. But those who have no desires and are doing good, they don't waste time in heaven. They very quickly come back to the house of yogis where they study. The yogis are very wise. And such a birth is very hard to get. And Bhagwan says when they go in the house of yogis, they get connected with this knowledge very quickly. They don't waste time. And they then continue to work for some siddha, for the highest siddhi, O Arjuna. So we'll end here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantoma Satgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Vidyoma Amritam Gamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah. Hari Om. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hari Om.